Broadcasting from the east side of Montrose, Colorado, this is The Dan Show.
It is 837 News 580. Good morning. My name is Dan. Robin Shank is here from Pure Kindness. Robin, you can talk into that pink microphone there. Get in there like Mick Jagger. A little closer.
How's that?
Yeah, good. Good job. Good job. There was an organization, Before You Hate, Think of Kate, still an organization founded after the death of Caitlin Haynes. Was that 2 years ago?
It was 2 years ago this past Friday, yes.
Wow. She was apparently bullied in school?
Yes, Kate Haynes was bullied in school starting in seventh grade.
Okay. So, subsequently, you met the family and they asked for your help?
Yes. I met the founders of the organization in 2016. And I actually met them through the connection of my daughter, mm-hmm. who mentioned to Maya Haynes that we might spend some time talking based on my background, and she thought that I could help the organization as they were moving forward.
Got it. Okay. So bullying is ubiquitous. Mm-hmm. I encountered a little bit of bullying a long time ago, a little bit, not as much as some other kids. I remember there was a kid in my class. He had a lot of moles on his skin.
Mm.
And he was tormented. I remember in sixth grade, it was really sad. When I think about it now, it is really sad. And I didn't know him, and I didn't know the kids who were bullying him. I mean, I just kind of saw it from a distance. But I didn't do anything about it.
Right.
So I guess I'm complicit.
So as we're moving forward today and things like that, that's the second part of this. You do have the bully and you do have the target, but what about all the kids who are the witnesses? How do we empower them to also be able to do something? Because living with that for the rest of your life is really hard to know that you witnessed something and you didn't know what to do or you didn't do anything. So we don't want our kids growing up feeling powerless. We want them to own their community. And
I mean, if I could go back, I would walk back and I would grab Danny Lang and Earl Ashton and I would grab them by the collar and say, what the bleep are you doing? I mean, I was the smallest kid in the school, though, or one of them.
Yeah.
I didn't have the muscle. But anyway, there are wounds.
Yeah, there are wounds. And so what you're talking about is creating a culture of an upstanding environment. So how do we teach kids to be upstanders when they see things that are not right or pure cruelty? And what do we want them to do when they see that?
Well, what do you say to the people who say that bullying is it's always been around and you just have to teach your kids to be like Marlon Brando?
Yeah, that doesn't work. It's a quick fix, but it's not the right fix. So what we know about bullying today is that there are long-term mental health issues that come from it. And it does impact all of us because those children grow up to be adults and they enter our workforce and they enter our community. So it's more than just an incident at time or a year at time. It can impact a lifetime, mm-hmm. and therefore impact our community. So we don't want to teach them to be aggressive back. We want to teach children to be assertive, to be able to stand up for themselves when something isn't right, and to not have to rely on mom and dad to do that for them, because the world is a tough place. But we don't do that with toughness back aggressiveness. We want to be assertive. We want to report it. Hitting people back isn't the right answer either.
Got it. How did you get into this?
That is a great question. Thank you for asking, Dan. I started out as a school teacher, and then I became an instructional coach where I was hired to go in and help teachers with the delivery of academics. But there was so much social, emotional, classroom management junk going on that primarily I spent a lot of my time helping teachers build relationships with students and keep them in school. And then that led to getting my administrative license and taking a position for School District 51 that focused on building a system of social emotional learning in a positive discipline way that reduced bullying. So it just kind of like fell into play. And then unfortunately we had the tragedy that you mentioned here in the community, and my daughter reached out to Maya Haynes and said, my mom does bully prevention and education, and I think she'd be a great person for you to talk to. And I heard the story of Kate Haynes from Maya's perspective, and when she said, we have a nonprofit organization that needs an executive director, are you interested? I said, yes, I am. And that's when things changed, and I took this position over full-time January 2017. And Before You Hate, Think of Kate kind of went through this revisioning process of looking at Before You Hate, Think of Kate as an organization and asking ourselves, what would Kate Haynes want this organization to be, and what was she about, and how did she treat other people? And that's how it moved from Before You Hate, Think of Kate to Pure Kindness, which stands for be positive, be encouraging, be empathetic, be respectful. And those are the things that, regardless of who I talked to about Kate Haynes, she was, even though people weren't that way to her. So we wanna share that with people and partner with youth organizations, schools, churches, rec districts to reduce bullying in our community and make it a safe, inclusive place for everyone.
So you can curtail it.
You can, yeah.
You can't mitigate it, but you can curtail it.
That's a really good way to put it, Dan. That's right, yeah. With intention and with the understanding of what bullying is and what it's not, and how to avoid becoming a victim, and also how to help bullies replace that behavior. Oftentimes, they want peer attention. So how do we teach someone who wants peer attention to get it the right way and not a way that causes harm to other people?
I remember the Dan Crosetti, who was a brawler, and he picked a fight with me. And I diverted his attention by his dad. I know his dad was a really good racquetball player, and my dad was too, and they both played in tournaments. And so I sort of diverted his attention, and he said, oh, yeah. And then he started talking about racquetball. I didn't want any part of this dude. I mean, right. he beat up a lot of kids.
Physical bullying is kind of what we grew up with, Dan, and it's the smallest percentage of what we see today. Most of it is verbal. 70% of bullying incidents are verbal, and a really large part are relational or social bullying, where you isolate someone and you interrupt their friendships. Physical bullying's easy to see, right? You hit someone and you can tell right away that something's going on. But the other two go under the radar. So we also have to teach staff how to recognize it and how to respond to it. So there's a whole lot of education that has to go into our community to help us all be able to identify it, report it, and respond to it the right way. And reporting it is really, really important. It's hard to help kids if we don't know what's going on. So we need multiple ways of reporting, and we need a consistent, quick response. And that's what we're working on right now.
Are you familiar with the temperaments like sanguine and melancholic?
Yes.
There's two others, maybe. Is there any one of those temperaments that is more susceptible to bullying?
I wouldn't say those temperaments. What we look at with children who start to demonstrate a victim mentality. They don't make eye contact when they talk to other people. Their voice is always low. Their nonverbal communication says, I'm afraid and I'm scared. And they oftentimes don't know how to insert themselves into a group or how to get out of a group. So they're alone a lot of the time.
If a person listening now, their children or grandchild comes home and tells them they're bullied. Do you have any tips, any standard answers they could give a child? I hate to put you on the spot, but
standard answers are really, really difficult because it depends on the location, the situation, and the developmental stage of the child, and also the cognitive ability of the child. But what I would say is you want to go in immediately to the church organizer, the rec district leader, the principal, and have a conversation and report the facts and say, this is what's going on. I want to partner with you in finding a solution, and don't wait. Most of the time when I get bully incidents reported to me, no one has shared the information with anyone who can do anything about it. And you kind of scratch your head and say, well, why is that? People are afraid to report. They're ashamed to report. They don't trust that something's going to be done. So we have this culture of not trusting, and we need to get over that. We need to report it right away. So that the people who can make the right decisions to help our children make those decisions. And we also want to empower the victim by stopping it and not letting it go on and waiting for the next incident or the more embarrassing one or the more hurtful one. And we need the children that tell us to trust that adults are going to do something about it.
I'm sure there are good people out there good adults out there, whose children bully others.
Yeah.
What do I do if my child is a bully?
That's a really great question too, because there are, just like there are indicators that a child might become a victim, there are also indicators that a child might become a bully. And if your child is starting to demonstrate any of those indicators, you definitely have a need to build empathy. To put your child in the position of someone else. There are great books that do that for literature, where you can do read-alouds with your child or read at night to help them take the perspective of another human being. And there are really great questions to help facilitate that. And we've got those listed on our website and our Facebook page. So if you're going, God, you know, I really think like my child could grow into someone who isn't always nice to other people, you read the books, you ask the questions, and you help them. Also, it's a great opportunity to do a family service project to help the child feel emotions and to see perspectives of other people. That's probably the number one thing that we can do for kids who are demonstrating a tendency to bully other kids. And then help them lead that empathy eventually to a compassionate act. So they get that positive feeling of, wow, I just did something good for another human being. It really does work.
I'm talking with Robin Shank. Peer Kindness is the organization. What's the URL? Is it peerkindness.net?
It's peerkindness.net for the website. And we also have a Facebook page, Peer Kindness at Choose Kindness Now, where we list events and trainings and tips and just resources and try to stay current on what's going on.
All right, let's talk about the internet. Let's talk about digital. Because with digital, people are shrouded a bit. Electronic bullying through social media, is that most of the cases that you get called about? Is it digital texting and Facebook bullying type stuff?
No, you know, the number one is in middle school and in high school is social and relational. So there are three types of bullying. You have verbal, you have physical, and you have social and relational. Relational and social is really trying to interrupt friends, because if I'm bullying you and you don't have a peer group around you, it's much easier for me to keep harming you. So cyberbullying and sexual bullying are also things that happen, but they're really kind of like, in cyberbullying, it's the location. So it can be verbal and it can be social and relational, but it happens digitally, online. And it does happen often. It is an easy way to target someone and sometimes remain anonymous on who's actually doing the bullying. So there are tips on on what we can give kids. First of all, they can change their email address, their account, or their username. They definitely need to report it to the school. They can file a complaint with the website and internet service. They can contact the police. They can contact an attorney. But one of the things that we tell kids is to stop, copy it, block it, and tell a friend. So stop means don't respond. Copy means make copies of all the messages and pictures and save cell phone, text, and voice messages. Block it means to put filters and communications in place and tell a trusted adult. And the trusted adult part is really important. You want to teach your children to report these incidents to adults that they have a relationship with, that they know something is going to change, rather than just telling anyone. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but if I have 7 teachers at school and I have 2 relationships with 2 close relationships, go to those 2 teachers. If you're in a church organization and you have 3 leaders and one of them you have a close relationship, go with that church leader first and share it with them.
Mm. You're a teacher. You were a teacher. I'm trying to think of a solution here. School uniforms. Would that help?
We do know that victims of bullying often get picked out because they look different. You know, like you mentioned, the little boy who had moles on his face, or maybe they have braces on their legs or a lisp in the way that they talk. Something is a little bit different. So, yeah, school uniforms would take away the differences in clothing. And I was a teacher that was highly impacted by poverty. So kids did come to school with holes in their shoes or jackets that didn't fit or clothes that were dirty. I don't think that wearing uniforms is the solution that's ever going to stop it, but it makes the differences less noticeable between kids, which could help. But, you know, I have to answer that question, though, in a different way. I think the best way to reduce bullying is to create a culture, a safe, inclusive culture in schools where we just don't treat each other that way. We teach children pro-social behaviors. We teach them how to respect each other, how to talk to each other, and also how to have differences, because conflict is normal, and that's not what we're talking about here. And we're doing that in Montrose County School District. We recently applied for a very large state grant that has supported the continued efforts of a pro-social evidence-based program called Second Step that teaches kids these social skills. But additionally, with this grant money, we were able to buy bully prevention unit kits. So every kid K through 5, every kinder, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth starting next year is going to have this evidence-based social curriculum, but also in addition to that have a bully prevention unit, which teaches them what bullying is, what it's not, how to stand up, how to report it, how to respond to it. So we're going to be very intentional about bullying in the elementary years, and that's starting next year. Actually, it starts this spring. Kids are going to take a student self-survey on what bullying is and how much is happening in their school so that we can make informed decisions and respond to that. And that starts this spring, and the curriculum starts next year. So we're expecting to see a lot of good things come from our intentions, recognizing it, responding it, and reporting it.
Television shows, movies, MTV. You know, I didn't have cable when I was a kid. I still don't have it.
I don't either.
the catty negativity. You know, when you watch, you know, even during the day, do you know the Jerry Springer Show is still on?
I did not know that.
Gutter, nasty show. What does that say about our culture? That show is still on the air. MTV is so shallow and, you know, everyone's pretty. Everyone's beautiful. What about television and movies? Kids watch too much of that stuff.
You know, they
bad
do.
Influence.
And Dan, you're bringing up another really good point. and I'm going to kind of put my teacher hat on now. Bullying doesn't happen because kids go to school or kids are in a camp or whatever. It's really an opportunity for kids to come together, right? So when kids come together, bring the TV, the gaming, the movies, the adult modeling that they have to these locations, and then they're with other kids.
Yeah, I did.
Right. So we as adults have a responsibility with our kids at home to move through all that TV that you're talking about and the gaming and the inappropriate things that may come into a child's life. So, we used to sit down together at the dinner table at my house, and we'd have conversations, and we would talk about respect and treating people the right way. We're really busy today. Parents are working two or three jobs. So how do we find the time at home to also reinforce what it is we're asking our children to be, which ultimately are good citizens, right? That's super important. And adults, we see bully each other and treat each other in cruel ways, especially over, you know, political things or social differences. So our kids are watching. They're watching and they're listening and they're seeing the way that we act to each other and what we say about each other. So if we want our children to treat each other respectfully and with kindness and with good intentions, then we need to model that for our children at home and outside of the places that they are with other kids. We have a responsibility too.
PureKindness.net is the website. You can also type in Pure Kindness on Facebook, P-E-E-R, for resources and information. I'm out of time.
Thank you so much, Dan, for allowing me to talk today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd like to do it again in 6 months or so.
That sounds great. Maybe we can come back and talk about what's going on in the elementary schools and give me an update on that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Robin Shank, Pure Kindness, P-E-E-R, Kindness. Type it into your search engine. You'll find it, purekindness.net.